takes on comic books that are coming out this day, today, Wednesday.
The Stack.
It's called The Stack, as we always say.
It's not called Hot Takes.
Yeah, but hot takes are contained within The Stack. You know what I'm talking about?
All right.
You know how every time you go get your comic books, you look through every one, and you're like, hot take, hot take, hot take, hot take.
I don't know about that.
You have lukewarm takes?
No.
Get ready for some lukewarm takes from Pete LePage. Let's jump into it. It's like slipping into a warm mud puddle with Pete LePage's opinions. Let's talk about Batman Prelude to the Wedding, Harley Quinn versus the Joker, number one.
Oh, man.
Man, that's a title that tells you what is up.
Yeah.
Now, this is by your boy, touchy-feely Tim Seeley, Pete. So tell me what you thought.
Well, I mean, I like the idea of this. I like the build-up to the wedding, and it's fun to see these guys kind of interact. I thought it was funny at moments. I love Tim Seeley as a writer. It's just that right now we're kind of doing this thing where, like, before Batman's wedding, like, everybody's talking about their feelings and, like...
That's what weddings are like, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm not... That's the part that I don't like about weddings, you know?
Is thinking about your feelings.
Yeah.
Or feeling at all.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Thank you. Yeah. So I don't like this part.
It's very telling that you identify with the wedding guests that are beating and trying to kill each other.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing better than that. I mean, that's a real wedding.
Yeah.
It's not a real wedding unless a brawl breaks out, you know?
Yes, no. I've been to all four of your Fight Club weddings. And I'll tell you what, you guys both looked bruised, but great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, this is fun. I feel like they're parodying the making a parallel to Batman and Catwoman's like loving, supportive relationship with the Joker and Harley's fucked up relationship, and showing that they are sort of married in their sadism, I guess.
Yeah, which is true.
Yeah, and how they're always just trying to out fight each other. There's some pretty crazy hologram stuff that happens in here, and I like where this ends with. Just really setting us up for this wedding that's coming up very soon.
I know.
Are you excited? It feels like we're...
I'm a little disappointed we didn't get, like, a Superman talking about his feelings more, you know? Like,
this doesn't seem like this spot.
Yeah, I know, but it was just, like, we kind of got a little glimpse of it for a couple lead-up comics where they were kind of, like, talking to their significant others about, like, how much they mean to each other, but they haven't done it to their face, which I was hoping that would happen before the wedding, but...
Yeah, we'll get there.
Maybe that's what the vows
are all about.
But yeah, I really thought this was fun, and the art was fantastic. You know, it's pretty fucked up, though.
Yeah, well, that's like, as we know, or as you've always said, that's what marriage is all about.
Yep.
Let's move on to talk about our next book, which comes out the 4th of July, The Quantum Age, number one, written by Jeff Lemire.
You've heard of that guy.
Yes, and art by Wilfredo Torres.
Which reminds me of the Invincible art.
It does, yeah. It sort of has that nice...
clean.
Nice, very clean, futuristic feel.
Yeah.
In this comic, so it's set in a far distant future after an alien attack, a Martian attack.
Mm-hmm.
And we're meeting a team of heroes called, I guess we assume they're heroes, called the Quantum Age. There's some fun relationships here. But this is definitely a world building. We're jumping back and forth between these two timelines and seeing the day the Martians invaded and the aftermath and what maybe has happened to this team, the Quantum Age. What do you think, Pete?
I mean, I thought the art was awesome. I liked the action. I'm just still a little in the dark about how this is all going to unfold. Like, it was tough because every time I was really getting into it, we switched to another time. And the Brain Dome dude was kind of, I wasn't sure how to feel about him yet, so.
Yeah, we don't know. I think maybe you are, society has told you not to trust people where you can see their brains.
Yeah.
Like, so that's like questionable. He seems nice. He's in,
you know, because I think of Mojo Jojo from Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah,
you know,
and totally.
That, yeah, you know, he's a bad guy.
He's a bad guy, and you
Although
see his brain.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, sometimes you see Brainiac's brain.
Yeah.
A bad guy. Yeah. Is there anybody you know that you really see their brain and they're good?
I don't think so.
Why are we hiding our brains? Good guys need to show off their brains because it's all about brains, not brawn. This had a fun, I think Invincible is a good parallel here. Mm-hmm. It feels like a lot of the team-oriented part of Invincible. And it feels very like 90s, a 90s comic. We don't know all the details, but we're meeting these fun characters.
In the middle of action.
Exploring this world.
Yeah.
I do agree with you. We don't quite know tonally what's going to happen with these folks or what like the whole deal is. This is like a very much of a first issue, but I'm definitely going to pick up the next one.
Yeah, I'm on board.
Nice. Let's move on to talk about Sex Criminals number 25.
Yay.
Pete's enthusiasm aside, Pete yep. loves talking about sex, and he loves talking about crime. So this is one a perfect combination. As a 25th issue, I feel like this has been, we've been building toward this for a long time. And what are you talking about?
Well, it was kind of a sex joke there.
Not really. Building no, I'm just saying it. We've been building toward a climax that I think took us all by surprise.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes the best kind of climax. Our primary couple has been sort of, have gone their separate ways for the last little bit. And this book has been harder to read with them apart. I feel like this isn't a will they, won't they comic since they sort of always were from the beginning. Mm-hmm. But once they broke up, it was like, oh man, I miss them as a couple. And we've had some fun exploring the ancillary characters and like dealing with a lot of their separate issues and how they relate to everybody. But this issue was really nice seeing. Not to spoil it too much, but people just coming back in contact with each other. People going back into part of this is what it's called, Come World, and seeing that, and there's just some great moments at the end.
Yeah, I just, I don't know, sometimes a premise can win you over after a little while, and sometimes it's just like, I don't know, I keep trying to convince myself, hey, give this comic a new try, a fresh start, and it's every time I try that, I'm like, yeah, I'm not into it.
It's not for you. Can you identify, because I do think, this is an interesting book, some people may be into it, some people maybe not.
Yeah, that's my phone, sorry.
Can you identify why you don't like it?
I don't know. I just think the idea of like rubbing one out and then you're in this special kind of world where you can do things is just like, I don't know.
Well, a lot of it's sex. It's not, which is not usually referred to as rubbing one out.
Right. Well, in this one,
that's rubbing two out.
Okay.
Well, that's what sex is.
Thanks. Right.
I've been meaning to have this conversation with you for a long time, Pete.
I'm just saying the character in this comic that we're talking about, she rubbed one out in a tub and then went to the sex world.
Rub-a-dub-dub.
Yeah. So that's what I was talking about. You didn't need to explain how sex works, but thank you.
It's always good to get a refresher. And for you guys at home, just hit us up on Twitter if you need any questions answered from anything from the beginning or the end, especially the end. Yes. Pete's favorite part.
So anyways, I don't know, man. Like, you know, you got to be into this world that the comic is creating, and if you're not, it just makes it hard to commit as far as being fully you know, into the comic, into the world that it creates. And I just...
you sort of got to get into it a little bit.
Yeah,
you need a little foreplay. I got to say, Pete, I disagree with you. I like this book a lot.
I mean, the art is fantastic.
Art's fantastic by Chip Zdarsky. And I think...
And fun little cartoon people with genitals. That moment was funny.
Oh, you like cartoon genitals, but not human genitals. It's very interesting window into Pete's sexual history. I like, there's a lot of great philosophy for the characters out in this issue. And like I said, the end is fantastic. So
it ends well, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Everyone is satisfied in the end.
Oh, boy.
Let's move on and talk about Man of Steel number 5.
All right.
From DC Comics. Brian Michael Bendis has done, this is the 5th of 6. He's been his first big take on the Superman universe. Pete, how have you been enjoying this? There's some revelations in this issue, and we're getting to...
Yeah, I mean... We got the classic fight on the moon, and they can't talk, so it's all kind of thought bubble stuff. I love when they're fighting on the moon, like the art. That really feels Superman. But when it's, like, on Earth, and it's, I don't know, it just feels, it doesn't look I don't know. It's just, it's, I don't know.
You're talking about the art specifically?
Yeah, specifically the art of how Superman looks. I thought Supergirl was fantastic. I felt like that. It's just when he's sitting in the bed and he's kind of like coming to, you know, all healing up and stuff. Like, it just doesn't look like Superman to me.
Interesting.
Artistically, they do some really awesome stuff shading wise, which I really like, but something about his face, and I don't know, it just doesn't feel like Superman to me. But I like this comic. I like the stuff they're talking about. I mean, I don't care how long it's been since I've seen my dad. If I had a kid, he couldn't just show up and take him away. I'll tell you that much.
Yes. In this issue, Jor-El, who is recently reintroduced into the DC universe, having been famously dead for a lot of Superman's life, the flashbacks we've been getting throughout the series are of him showing up and seemingly taking Clark and Lois's son.
Yeah. You can't do that.
Yeah. It's a little John Kent. And I think we're sort of getting to the fact that maybe that's why Superman and Lois have separated, that Superman lets John go with Jor-El, and maybe, because I think that's what we're getting to, that Superman and Lois are not together. We're meeting this female firefighter who it seems
like
is
idea.
Maybe a romantic interest for Superman.
Nope.
She's solving this series of fires in Metropolis. We get a lot of Supergirl in this issue, some Justice League, and then setting up for a climactic battle next issue against this brand new Kryptonian cleansing villain.
He looks like a badass.
He does seem like a badass. Like I said, this stuff, I've loved all of the Superman family stuff we've been having for the last couple years. So this, the fact that there were the big choice of splitting up Clark and Lois seems sort of crazy to me.
Yep.
It's a little bit herky-jerky to get into because we know it's happened. Or we know something happened, but we don't know what or why. I will say, though, I like Bendis is just good at like creating plot threads and then starting to wind them together. So I'm curious to see where it goes, though. This definitely feels like a very different Superman. Let's move on and talk about another book, Century Number One from Marvel Comics.
This is a different kind of Century that we're used to, I'll tell you that much.
Yes. So this is an interesting take. The Century is Marvel's even beyond Superman, he's more powerful than Superman, and the sort of fatal flaw of the Century is that an equally powerful villain lives inside his head, and he spends his whole life being tormented by it and trying to keep it under wraps.
Right.
So in this new take written by Jeff Lemire with art by Kim Jacinto, we have the Century living out his life in a fantasy sort of a device that keeps the Century and the Void in check that Doctor Strange created. And then he spends his rest of his life as a secret identity Bob as a short order cook in a diner living sort of a miserable life. He's under watch by Misty Knight for all the bad business that he's done as the Void. And his sidekick, Scout, he wants to go back to being a sidekick. We learn a little bit about that. And then the issue builds toward this machine being stolen and someone breaking into the Century's secret fantasy world and making a mess. It's an interesting take. It's sad. It's definitely sad. I feel like we are going to get to some more fun stuff. The Century as a character is dealing with mental illness a lot and how that haunts him relentlessly. The Century was just featured in Doctor Strange, and I thought it was super fun. So I hope we get back to that level of him being powerful and sort of a little bit Superman-ish with a dark side.
Yeah. Century not one of my favorites. I think Marvel sometimes uses him in cool ways where it's like, oh, we're in trouble. We need like a superpowered person. And he shows up, kind of saves the day, and then pieces out. That's kind of how I like my Century. A whole book on Century, and I'm kind of a little like meh.
Meh.
But Misty Knight, big fan of, so nice to get a shout out in this.
So you like to just see a little guest star.
Yep.
Great. Let's move on and talk about another book, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, number one. This comes out on July 4th, so this is something we won't spoil. Yeah, oh, but we won't spoil this.
But it definitely reminds me of the classic Up All Night USA days back in my childhood.
Yeah,
when we're talking about Elvira.
I'm not super familiar with Elvira. She's just.
I was the only dude watching Up All Night.
I remember Up All Night being some like sort of vaguely pornographic television.
She would host like kind of like cheesy monster movie type stuff.
But she's just a regular person.
Right.
Who like is involved in this monster world.
Yeah.
This book has her back in those ways. She gets mixed up with some famous people from history.
Right.
The tone of the book has almost a Deadpool vibe. Mm-hmm. If you're into Deadpool, this definitely I think you'd like this. She breaks the fourth wall a little bit. It's a lot of her joking around with various straight men in different situations.
Yeah, that's kind of her deal. She just kind of pokes fun of situations and makes it very cheeky, very kind of like winky type of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And it's fun. I mean, you know, I don't know if I could like read like six or seven of them back to back, but like,
I think
it's a nice kind of like palate cleanser in your stack a little bit. You know what I mean?
Ah, yes. A palate cleanser, which you have to have every three or four books.
Yeah.
Otherwise you will just, your palate will be ruined.
I find I can't read five DC books in a row. Like I got to go like DC, you know, I can do like a couple DC, then I like to do a Marvel.
Interesting. You
know I mean?
You really
like
shake it up.
Yeah, because otherwise it's not enjoyable.
I have a very specific, I sort of do the opposite. I have a couple books that rise to the top, and then I work through Marvel, and then I work through DC, or vice versa, depending on what I'm excited about, and then I get into the more indie stuff.
Yeah, like my favorite book I save.
Really? Yeah. See, I do my favorites up top.
Oh, you can't, because then it's like, why keep reading?
See, but then I have my like instant fave, like the easy read faves, and then I have my like the more heady, thicker faves at the bottom.
Yeah.
That's funny. How do you do your stack? We never really talked about this. Hit us up on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
After 13 years, I think we've talked about it.
No, we've never talked. There are so many things we haven't talked about. We just got into your sexual history just today. But definitely check out Elvira for a mid-stack palate cleanser, as Pete calls it. out July 4th. Written by David Avalone. Art by David Costa. Couple of Daves. Yeah. Let's move on and talk about Multiple Man, number one. Pete, this guy can turn into many guys.
Yep.
That's his deal. Matt Rosenberg, art by Andy McDonald. I'm a huge fan of Multiple Man. He's had several iterations in the Marvel Universe.
It's your dude.
He's my dude. Sort of a prankster back in the old new X-Factor, if that makes sense.
If you had this power, it would be my worst nightmare.
Oh, man, I just have one of me with you at all times to protect you from yourself.
Oh, that's nice. It took a nice turn.
From yourself.
And this is kind of like, it's fun to see different versions of him in this. You think you're getting other characters, but, you know, spoilers, just him.
This gets into some continuity stuff pretty intensely. Yeah. Multiple Man was killed, but this version, a dupe, turned up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And but he's dying, so he wants the Beast to fix him. He steals a time machine from Bishop to travel forward in time. And I think he somehow messes with the time stream because a group of differently powered Madroxes shows up to mess up the present. Totally, this felt a lot like Deadpool 2. The movie Deadpool 2. I mean, Deadpool also.
Okay.
It does seem like maybe that's the style of the time. But he is a little more of a prankster, like the original, as opposed to the detective that we've most recently seen him as. Peter David's mm-hmm. big run there. I don't know. It's a different character. I was expecting a little bit more of the savvy detective rather than the goof. But Multiple Man has multiple personalities.
Yeah, I thought this was a fun read. I love the art. I really thought this was a solid book. I'm definitely on board for more. I can't wait for the next issue.
Nice. So maybe make Multiple Man a multiple issue pickup.
Oh boy.
And let's move on to our last book, my favorite book of the week, Kill or Be Killed number 20.
Oh man.
Now this is the last issue of the series by Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips, Elizabeth Brett Weister. I love this comic.
This is your favorite.
If you haven't been reading this at all, the premise is a troubled kid. I guess, I don't know, in his 20s. He encounters a demon who says that he must kill someone of whoever he wants. He chooses to kill bad guys because Smart. He feels bad. And if he doesn't kill, he will be killed, hence the title. Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips are just great storytellers. We really get in this character's head. Yeah. Super unique. This issue is not what I expected at all.
Yeah, this issue fucks with you, man.
Yeah, it fucks with you a little bit in a really great, interesting way. Leaves us with a great reveal at the end. I don't want to spoil any of it because it's only 20 issues. You should read this from the beginning. It's worth it. It's beautifully written, beautifully drawn. And one of the more exciting things, we get a little preview of Brubaker and Phillips' next book, My Heroes Have Always Been Junkies. Very excited for that. They're just such a powerhouse team, and every book that I want to read, every book that they do. They're doing a sequel to the Fade Out series I love from a couple years ago. Great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as much of a fanboy as you are, but I think this is...
I'm a fan man.
Okay, excuse me. But yeah, I think this is a fantastic book, and I think this ends really well, which is very important to me. If you don't stick the landing, then, you know, what was it all worth? You know, so...
Oh, shit. Wow.
It's
so hard to stick the... Like, in your life, it's hard to stick the landing.
Right. Yeah.
Because, you know, you're old when the ending comes.
That's true.
A lot of the time. You're old now, so congrats on getting so far.
Thanks, man. You too.
It's a shame you're just learning about sex now. Your life would have been so much better.
So much better. But it's never too late, they say. So anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm
going to send one of my dupes to check up on your sexual progress.
Oh boy. Yeah, I think that sometimes when you do make some creative choices that, you know, it can piss people off. But I think this was done really well. And I was impressed.
Yeah. So that's it for the stack, guys. Check out all of those comics. We certainly enjoyed reading them. If you want to support this and all of the other podcasts we do, which are our Preacher podcast, Preacher Men, which we are rolling out right now, our Cloak and Dagger podcast called Cloak and Jabber, super fun, really loving that show. Our main podcast, Comic
Most
Book Club.
Most of us are loving that show.
Yes, most of us. Anyone with any sense, you can check out our main podcast, Comic Book Club. We record that live in New York City every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. If you want to support all of these endeavors, you can hit us up at patreon.com/comicbookclub. We have a bunch of fun stuff you can get in on, and we are about to launch some new stuff for Patreon exclusive members. So please do check that out. Pete, tell some people some stuff.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live. And we will see you next week with another batch of fresh reviews and fresh sexual interest from Mr. Pete LePage.
Oh, boy.
Get ready, because I will ask you for some hot takes.